Welcome to the very last, EA meeting of 2022. We're really pleased. We've got a full day today to talk about a number of things, but I'll let Marcy do roll call.
Yep. Darren Borders.
How's that?
Marcus Brooks. Justin Chandler.
Here.
Oh, he's.
Is he here?
He's here. Let me. I think it's an audio thing. Let me just.
Stacy Coyle. Carl Cornell.
One second, Marcia. Let me just adjust the audio.
Yeah, Carl. I see you, Carl.
Carl is. Can you all hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Yes.
I can. I'm sorry, we can't hear you.
I could hear Jeremy.
Yes.
Jeremy, could you speak again?
Speaking.
Okay, it's just very low.
Yeah,
we just need to boost it a little.
Yeah, I'm a pretty loud guy. If you can't hear me, you're not going to hear anybody else.
that's better. Is Darren Borders here?
How's that?
Okay. Marcus Brooks? No. Jackie Creakey? Matthew Davis didn't join us. Hey DePew. Bethany Dixon isn't able to join. Adrian Durant.
Here.
Brenda Fisher. And is you? Zach Powell.
I'm here.
Ellie Crum.
I'm here.
Jeremy is here.
Oh, I just saw an email saying
Michelle Leparco.
Did she
here? Here.
Michelle's here. Okay. Yes. Yep. Christine Mahoney. Alan Mittman. Alina O'Connor.
Here.
Kevin Phipps. Stephanie Rizzo. Any Shaft?
I know she's coming. She just may not be here first day.
Okay. And Lisa Zacharias is probably coming a little late.
She's coming a little bit later.
Yep.
Great. I want to provide the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gayakono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayakono people, past and present, these lands and waters. The next item, the approval of the November 16th minutes, we're going to push that to the January 18th meeting because we don't have them just yet. Our students are knee-deep in to preparation and study week as well as finals. So we're going to push that next to next meeting. Our business of the day, we're beyond excited to welcome Sonia Rucker here. Sonia is the Associate Vice President for Workplace Inclusion and Belonging. And I probably am messing that up, Sonia, so you need to clarify. Sonia is here along with a number of members of the Department of Inclusion and Belonging. And Sonia First of all, let me apologize for not getting your title right, but you are an associate vice president. I know that to be true, but I know that the name has changed a little bit. So we, if you could clarify that for us, and we look forward to hearing what you have to say today.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. It's okay. I get confused by these long titles as well. So I'm actually the Associate Vice President of Inclusion and Belonging. And I also serve as one of the presidential advisors on diversity and equity. So one of the PAIDs. And my area of focus is staff.
Great. Welcome. So I wasn't too far off about inclusion and belonging.
Good. Yeah.
That's great. Perfect. This is your first time coming to an EA meeting. And I know that's so in line with a lot of the concerns that we received from our priorities pool this year is to talk about inclusion and belonging of our staff. So we really look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Sure. Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation. And it's great. I'm seeing some faces for the first time. And I look forward to meeting you all in person at some point as well. So I have been here at Cornell since October of 2021. This is my second time working at Cornell. I previously worked here from 2003 to 2011 on the staff side. This is my first time working in human resources, but where I am currently working in inclusion and belonging is very much in line with my work history. I've worked in a variety of positions related to diversity and inclusion. I was the equity officer at my previous university and assistant to the president for equity issues. So I'm really excited to be here. I have an amazing team maybe all of them are on this call right now. We have Toral Patel and we have Lauren Eilers-Lloyd and Aaron Simber-Chase. There they all are. Thanks for joining me. We are located in Day Hall, Suite 150. We are one of the few departments who have permanent spaces. That was one of the first things I requested when I came on campus. I wanted an actual office and to have a permanent space for people to know where they could find us and how to reach out to us. Since coming on board, when I came in October of 2021, we were already kind of in the middle of reviewing the data that had been shared out from the Belonging at Cornell survey. There were a lot of meetings that were occurring as well, because we were also in the middle of completing the ADEI training module. The six training modules were completed by the deadline in September. And then from there, we kind of moved into talking about a new employee survey, as well as the addition of the Belonging at Cornell survey question, because it's my understanding that those surveys were to be completed every 2 years. So I was very excited to have the opportunity to be a part of the survey process from beginning to end. And the survey closed November 19th. We're still awaiting that data, but a lot of what comes out of that survey, the results, the comments, and the data is going to help guide my office and the work with the PAID group, I think, for the next year or so. But in addition to that, DIB has their own initiatives. We have been pretty active this year. You may have had an opportunity to attend some of our Inclusive Excellence Training Academy events and programs that Aaron has primarily been coordinating for us. We actually have one tomorrow that will include a session on social media and Wendy Tarlow from the council's office is going to be facilitating that discussion. We have our Inclusive Excellence Summit that we have every year that is going to be occurring April 18th and 19th. We have been very connected to our colleague networking groups. The five groups that we've been working with have become very much an extension of the office. With an office of four, we realize that we can't do everything, so we really count on those community members who are part of those colleague networking groups to assist us. We've created a leadership group from representations from the five colleague networking groups who kind of help assist us in coming up with ideas, programming, letting us know what their experiences are around campus. And that's really important to me. Working in equity, I've had experiences where I've been the only person in an office, and now I have four people. So this is a lot of help for me, but it's still a very small team. So in order to be effective, we really do need people in the community who are assisting us and telling us about their experiences. We don't want to just hear from you every 2 years when those surveys come out. We need to be in contact and letting us know what is occurring, where do you see lack of representation, where do you see issues, where you see things not necessarily in line with how Cornell represents itself in terms of being an inclusive community. So really being connected to the community is job one for us, because that really helps guide our work. Andrea, I could talk through some other initiatives, but I would love to hear if any people have any questions or anything in particular you would love for me to talk about.
I open it up to questions. Maybe if folks don't have them right now, maybe if you could describe a couple of the initiatives that may prompt some additional questions.
Okay. So our newest team member, Erin, she has been at Cornell for 20 years, Erin, I believe. Erin and I met when I worked here previously. At that time, she was in Res Life, and then she had a few years in Student Disability Services, and then over at ILR, that is the Disability Institute, I believe. Erin came on board shortly after I got here in the spring, maybe April. And she has created a lot of programming and events that are related to our Inclusive Excellence Summit, our Inclusive Excellence Network, rather. So Erin is overseeing the podcast that Anthony Stith previously oversaw when they were here previously. So she has some new podcasts out there that she's promoting, and we hope that you will sign on to the diversity website and take a listen to some of those podcasts. You have another one coming up tomorrow that she's going to be doing. We have the Inclusive Excellence Academy. Those are the regular programs and panels that occur on a monthly basis. We have kind of incorporated some Heritage Month activities or highlights in some of the work that Erin is doing. So looking at Hispanic Heritage Month, Women's History Month, Black History Month, LGBTQ, Pride Month. So all of those we are starting to incorporate. And Erin just popped that into the chat link where you can take a look at the Inclusive Excellence Network. We also, as I said previously, have the summit coming up in April. That's going to be a two-day event. It's going to be held at the Statler, April 18th and 19th. The first day is going to be face-to-face programming, and the second day is going to be virtual. We are hoping for a great turnout for that event. We'll start when we return in January, promoting the event a little more, sharing who our keynote speakers will be, any themes, topics, workshops that are going to be occurring during the summit. And then we have Toral Patel. Toral is our longest DIB employee. She has been here through a couple of different directors. So Toril is primarily our project manager. She kind of keeps an eye on initiatives that we need to focus on. Today, during the HR Council meeting, Toril Patel, along with Kim Babuka, Kim Swartout, and Sonia Baylor, presented a new initiative around staff hiring. And this new initiative is an effort to create an opportunity to embed DIE into our staff search process. As you may be aware, the faculty for a few years now have been very focused on hiring more faculty of color and more diverse faculty. They put a few processes in place, including a requirement for anyone who is serving on a search committee to have to complete a diversity training. It depends on the lens training that was created by Dane Miller from over at ODE. So we are hoping to have a parallel process on the staff side. We want to make sure that from the beginning, anyone who is involved in a search understands how important it is to try as much as possible to have a diverse pool of candidates. Not only trying to get a diverse pool of candidates, but thinking in terms of what questions can we ask candidates that are in line with our belonging at Cornell metrics, and how we say we value diversity should be reflected in how we conduct our interview processes. So Toril has been working with Sonia Baylor to not only make sure that the search committee training is in place, but that we also have opportunities to create questions that can be shared with the search committee candidates. We're looking at updating our position descriptions to include more inclusive questions and more inclusive descriptions of what employees are doing. Toril, maybe I should just let you kind of share a little bit, since you just recently talked about this morning.
Yeah, so the idea was, that because faculty were requiring almost every single applicant to submit a contribution to diversity statement, that's where we started this larger project. And we started talking about, hey, can we do something like this as a requirement for staff-related positions? And as I was thinking more about it, I just said it doesn't make sense for me to just start there without incorporating DEI language in actually the position description itself, right? And so it turned into a much more broader project than I think we had envisioned when we first started. And so phase one of the project is going to be embedding DEI language in all job descriptions. And so the idea is that the culture of Cornell is a shared responsibility across the board. It's not just the work of some of these DEI offices or individuals that are in these offices across campus. And so that language will be incorporated in there, but that language is tied into the Okanagan contract that we recently signed. So it's DEI language tied in with wellness. It's also tied into the Cornell values, as well as all of the skills for success that are typically incorporated into the position description now. So that current skills for success page is now gone, and in its place will be this entire new section. So that'll be part one. And then once that phase is completed, Sonia was talking about, then what does it look like when we actually hire for that, right? So we'll embed all of the contribution to diversity statements, DEI related interview questions, those kinds of components, all the trainings for search committees and so forth will be that piece. And then phase three will then be looking at onboarding. So if we're saying that this is now shared responsibility across the board, what does that mean for you at an individual level for your position? So we'll start kind of address that for new hires in the onboarding process. And then phase four, the last part of the project, will then be looking at it in terms of performance dialogue, right? So nothing will matter here if it's not measured. And so we'll start holding people accountable to all of that as part of the performance dialogue process. So that's kind of that's what it's turned into, is this much larger project. When we started just looking, we initially started by looking at just the hiring component, but it didn't make sense without adding all of these other pieces in. So that's when it's completed, that will be the full project. And right now, the part that we're getting to launch is the position description piece. The language has been created, and we just shared it with all of the HR directors this morning, as Sonia said. And so now it's the next phase will be to start implementing it. And with the new language, we're actually going to start by implementing it in new positions as they're created, as well as any new posting. So if any backfills and things like that, the idea isn't to go ahead and convert, 10,000 job descriptions that we have here on campus into this new format. We will do that slowly. And so the next time we'll have an opportunity to change job descriptions will obviously be in the performance dialogue phases, when everybody should be reviewing their job descriptions anyways. And then ultimately we will be moving towards electronic job description. So when we do that, all of these will be converted at that time. So the idea is to kind of have a slow process in terms of how this is implemented.
Yeah, and I think, this is an opportunity for us to kind of take talking about DE&I from the theoretical, concept to really incorporating it into the work that we do. We're going to be using it to evaluate employees on the staff side, and hopefully incorporating it into every department and how you do your work and how you interact with each other. And I think that is really a great first step to kind of show even more how committed we are to this Belonging at Cornell framework. And Toril, do you want to talk a little bit about the job family?
Yeah, and so the second big project that I have been involved in is actually creating a standalone DEI job family. And so initially, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, our office was essentially the only individuals with a standalone DEI title, and we were housed in the HR job family. And then since then, we've had, or even before then, we've had quite a few individuals that have been, DEI offices have been created in various colleges and units. And so we have now a lot more people with DEI related working titles. And what we were finding was that there were some of these individuals were housed under the student services job family, and then some of them were housed under the administration job family. There were some of us that were housed in the HR job family. And so because we had so many people in doing this type of work, it made sense to kind of create a separate DEI job family. And what's neat about this is that this is a separate family altogether. So it's not going to be housed under student services, administration, or HR. And so that is also the project that was presented to HR directors earlier today. And my understanding is that the generic job descriptions for all of those have been created. And there's two different tracks. One is an individual contributor track that goes up to G as an individual contributor. And then there is the people leader track that actually starts with G, the people leader, and then and moves up from there. And so this is amazing. I'm very excited about this project. And our compensation team has already started reaching out to the various HR units across campus to find out who within their college or unit should fall under these this new job family. And so we're going to start slowly moving people into this new job family. And what's great about it is that kind of puts all of these individuals that are doing this work across campus at a more equitable level, right? So right now, if you're in student services versus administration versus HR, the pay level is completely different for all of us. And this puts us all at an equitable level. And that's great, because the other thing that we found, the reason why we started looking at this in the first place, is we found that people were actually moving ship and changing locations, doing the same exact job, but they were going to go from this college to that college because the other college position was housed in administration. Mine is housed in student services. Administration pays a little bit more, so let me just move over there, right? And so this really really kind of focuses on the equity piece for everybody doing this type of work. So I'm really excited about this project as well.
Thanks, Toro.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions, or are there any comments about what we've shared so far? I think I'm close to my time limit, so I don't want to take up more time than necessary.
Well, I have a question if folks don't. I'm just very excited, especially with the onboarding program that you're looking to establish with all of the new DEI language as part of a search process. My question is there a component that would allow that middle management line or job or departments to understand the role they play as allies in making sure that we facilitate? Because onboarding is fabulous, it's great to, but where's that next level of understanding the role that everybody plays in making sure that folks feel that sense of belonging for existing job families, maybe for existing, not job families, but existing departments, but also folks that have been here for a period of time who aren't necessarily new, but we want to make sure that all of this sense is facilitated in that way.
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. I actually just had a conversation with Erin during her one-on-one about that. When I was brought into the university, I had a pretty amazing onboarding team that I was meeting with who were, you know, there to answer any questions that I had. We had very extensive conversations about Cornell and the community, but it's not very clear if that occurs for every position. And I think that it may not necessarily be something that just benefits people at a certain level. I think, you know, belonging at Cornell is, we all know, we've done the ADEI modules. We know what diversity is. We know what it means to try to create an inclusive community. But none of that really works if you are not welcomed and transitioned appropriately into your day-to-day workspace with your supervisors, with your colleagues, with your department. Cornell, we talk a lot about it being decentralized, and it's very difficult to come up with one plan for, you know, every single individual who works here. But I think at the very least, we should have some kind of protocol to onboard every employee and making sure that they are successful and that they understand the community that they're coming into. We've talked about how to embed certain things into the process. For instance, you know, talking about the employee assembly, how to get involved, talking about the colleague networking groups, talking about you know, the churches. Cassie Joseph created this amazing living at Cornell.
Diverse living in Ithaca.
But it's not a guide just for people of color or people who identify as LGBTQ or any other identity. Ithaca is a very unique place. And coming from outside of Ithaca, I think it's important to create some opportunity for people to be able to be brought in a way that gives them a chance to understand the community better, to understand Cornell, the structure, how things work, you know, give them a better way to connect with people, not just within their department, but across campus as well. So I think onboarding is a huge area that we really need to focus on and make sure that we're setting people up for success.
Great. Yes, thank you for that, Toral, about the diverse living in Ithaca. We had Cassie at our last EA.
Oh yeah, it's wonderful.
With about that. What a great resource.
The other thing that I'll add to what Sonia mentioned is that ODE, which is our Department of Organizational Effectiveness and Development, they are working on a new supervisory manager or people leader training. And Erin and I are scheduled to meet with them to start, talk about incorporating some of the DEI language for that. And so I think, Andrea, what you mentioned, that might be a good place to incorporate some of this language as well and start talking to supervisors who are already here and to get to that staff who are already here, right? So we're going to get to the new hires in the onboarding process, but how do we get this language in front of the existing staff? And I think that might be a great way to do that as well.
Yep. Great. Perfect. Jeremy, your hand is raised.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on that. Thank you so much for all that you're doing. And I think that you really hit on, for me, what has been two key pieces that I think could use development. And the first is, as you said, the onboarding is not the same at every level of the university, from our, you know, very most entry level to our upper level executives, to ensure that we're getting the same kind of entry point into the university. Mm-hmm. And the other is that if your only contact with DEI is that once a year thing that comes out, that's not really going to set a culture of diversity and belonging at the university. It needs to be trained into our leaders who are guiding the culture of our organization. So thank you for really focusing on that.
Thank you, Jeremy. We actually do have a center of expertise on culture that I am co-chairing. It is a part of the, there were seven different centers and kind of creation of things that we want to centralize that came out of that 2018-2019 functional review of HR. So the Center of Culture is going to be co-chaired by myself and Kathy Berggren. We've already had a couple of meetings. We've had focus groups where we have invited staff to answer some questions for us about how they would describe the culture of Cornell, ways that we can kind of make the culture more relevant to our experiences post, I guess I can't say post-COVID, but post-epidemic, but this new way of working remotely, this new way of living differently after COVID, and also, you know, what we value as a community in terms of well-being, inclusion, and equity. And I have to admit, I kind of am starting to move away from using the word diversity. We already know, I mean, we can get a lot of people to work here. What we have trouble with is keeping them and making them happy and feeling like this is their community. So equity and inclusion and belonging are the way that I think we do that is talking about how to create a culture where people feel like they are a part of this community and that this is not just a job. That, you know, I think staff have shared in some of those focus groups that at times they don't feel necessarily like they are seen to be as important as faculty as students. We kind of have staff in this little, you know, area where I think everybody is important, but, you know, faculty and students, these are very different groups and are treated differently. And sometimes staff don't necessarily get the attention that we deserve. And I consider myself a staff person. I've always been on the staff side. So I think it's important for us to think about what type of culture staff need to be successful and to retain them and also to move them up so they see Cornell as a place they can have a long career at and, you know, feel connected to this community.
Well, this has been fabulous, and we appreciate your time. I know Erin participates on our employee welfare committee as part of it. The issue of belonging and inclusiveness, I think, is key to the tenets of the work that the employee assembly is interested in. So the partnership that you know that we have with your office, I think, is key and ingrained. And whatever we can continue to do to work together if issues come up or if there are any other aspects that the employee assembly can provide to support the work that you all are doing, I think you can count on us in a multifaceted way. But thank you for taking the time to talk about this, and as well as the work that you're doing, I think is so key and important. And it's our shared perspective of working with our employees to make sure that everybody feels like this is the place for them.
Well, thank you for the invitation and for your time and attention. And I look forward to working with you. And if I don't see you again, have a great winter break.
Great. Thanks. Same to you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
You too.
So that gives us just a few minutes to talk. Next is our executive committee and looking at committee reports. Marcy.
Yes. excuse me. So yes, we met to discuss this meeting and then future meetings. Future speakers that we have coming up, we've got for our next meeting, which will be January 18th, we've got Bruce Lowenstein coming from the Ombuds. He's going to give a presentation on their office and all that they do. So look forward to that. Then on February 1st, we're going to have Martha Pollack join our meeting. So we would like to have you. If you have any questions or anything that you wanted to ask her, we would like to have those in advance. So send me an email and, you know, just with your questions and comments. And, you know, they do like to have those in advance so that they can prepare if there are details so they can have give an intelligent response. Not that their responses aren't always intelligent, but so they can look into any responses that you have, but do try to get us to that before February 1st. We've got some time, but just keep it in your head. And then we were also discussing in-person meetings and what that will look like. The Office of Assemblies is great, and they order all this food, but there's only 3 to 5 of us that ever come to the meeting, so it goes to waste. So we're looking at different ways. What should we do? I think for the February 1st meeting, we'll try and have a lunch, but the other meetings, we might look at doing something differently. Certainly have in person, but I don't know what that looks like, but something to discuss. And your thoughts would be greatly appreciated too. Any comments? Jeremy.
Just seconding that. That's for someone who is not able to attend in person, it would be nice to reconsider how we supply. I don't want to short y'all for anything, but there's no need to let a bunch of stuff go to waste if we can avoid it.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the thought is probably after the first of the year. You know, we just won't have food. But if we have a speaker actually coming in, that might be something that we reconsider. But most of our speakers really appreciate the remote aspect of it. Even when Bruce came to the university assembly, he was remote.
No,
he was in person.
He was in person.
Oh, I was remote.
Yep.
So that's what I was trying to remember. I thought he was remote.
No. For meetings, when we have a big speaker like the president, I think it makes sense to have food because we're going to have a bigger population in person for those kinds of big events. Right. But at our standard meetings where we're just doing a standard agenda of the day, I think we can, we're starting to see what our regular attendance is for meetings without a guest, without a prominent guest speaker.
Yes, Carl.
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So I think a great way to solve this is to buy like maybe a couple prepackaged snacks that you can just distribute during the meetings as we go out. And then that way we buy a small amount of food at the beginning and then give out like a small snack, maybe like a Cheez-It packet or something like that. So that way we're not providing a whole meal. to keep our costs down, and then providing meals for things like, you know, when we met with Christine Lovely and when we have speakers. So I agree with that.
Or do we want to go fully remote unless we have a speaker? I don't know.
Right. I think that's a question, is do we continue to just do remote meetings? It's nice for those of us who come, but at the same time, I think that's something that we could consider as well. I don't know if anybody has any thoughts on that.
I think it's a good idea to consider.
Okay.
I can never find where my hand is to raise, so to say. Do we track how many people show up? Do we have records of how many are coming in person?
I don't know that we do, but it's usually never more than 5,
maybe 6. We've had a few, but again, it's again, and there are folks that are remote full time that always have been. I just remember, as long as I've been on the employee assembly, there was our vice chair for communications was always within Florida, you know, and that was pre-COVID. So I think, again, we will always have this dynamic of it, but it's one of those things that, for certain types of things, I think we might want to consider. And I know the University Assembly did this last week. You know, there may be times that we just were like, okay, we're 100%, everybody's remote, and going from there. So again, it's an ongoing conversation. Kate has her hand raised.
I do. And which, of course, I want to point out, no one who's remote could see that I have my hand raised. I like in-person meetings, but I do think a hybrid model where 4 of us or three members of the EA are here in person, it's harder because you can't see us. We're in a way, we're here in the room together, but we're less with everybody who's in their own little box online. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be better to all be remote unless we're going to have a core group that is in person. Because otherwise, you know, we're just like, look, I'm waving. Can you see? You can't really. It makes communication different between those who are in the room and those who are not. And when so few of us are here, right, not sure it's necessary.
Marcy has her hand raised.
If you can see. yeah, because I feel in the room, we miss like a whole conversation going on in chat. That, you know, it's not part of the record unless, you know, someone says it out loud. But I feel like, you know, I'm missing out on some conversation.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. I think that's an important aspect of it, to be able to do. So I think it's an ongoing conversation. New year, we might explore possibilities. I know the executive committee is certainly talking about that, but the food aside, we just need ongoing ways to get folks here and whatever capacity that we can. And because I think attendance is certainly one other component of it. If it's all remote, maybe we can do that as well. The only other thing I will add is it's tentative, but I've been told that it's sounds like it's going to work as president's address to staff is scheduled for February 6th. It's a Monday. We do want to have that in person as well as remote, which again, it always has been, but we're keeping our fingers crossed. The folks and Christine Lovely's office at VPCHRO have been lovely at trying to help us navigate this, as well as the president coming on February 1st. February 1st. And so initially it was going to be February 8th, but then I finally had asked the question, it's like, well, wait a minute, do we need to have the president's address to staff in a remote, but it It's earlier than, you know, February 6th versus February 8th or some other time. So it looks like that's the date that we're working off of. So I just wanted to make sure that folks were aware of that.
More information will be coming out, as well as the location of where it'll be.
We're waiting on a response about G10 Biotech, and then we'll see if you actually want that. And
yeah,
if we don't get that, we'll look around.
Great.
After we started.
Perfect. All right. There's a lot of chat but again, just remind the chat is helpful, but it's not part of the record. So if there's anything that you want to say to have it be part of the record, please raise your hand as EA reps first, but then we'll open it to others to be able to do that. But just in the interest of time, since it is after one, Jackie, as communications recognition and awards.
I was wondering if we wanted to talk about a potential gathering, since we were talking about in-person versus hybrid. I wasn't sure when you were going to insert that. I thought it might be an exec committee update. Or should we save that to the end?
No, it wasn't necessarily part of that. But yes, raise it, because that was your idea, Jackie.
Sure. Well, so I just wondered if people were interested in doing a in-person holiday timing gathering, so that kind of like the retreat, except it'd be more of a social thing. I know at the end of last year, it was something we didn't really do, but it was done last year and I had to miss it because I was unwell and unavailable. So I kind of wanted to have the opportunity to gather with everybody and have a more social rather than a business meeting. But obviously all of us have a similar mindset. We're probably gonna engage on topics that relate to all of us. But the question would be, is there enough interest for us to schedule that? And then the second question is, would December work, or should we shoot for January? Because I know it's already fairly late and I know December is going to run pretty quickly. So just trying to arrange it would be difficult. So wanted to get feedback from the group on any type of social gathering for the EA in general. Okay.
Jeremy.
I would love to do a social gathering sometime, warm weather, where we could be outside. For health reasons, I can't gather inside with folks, but yeah.
Okay, fair.
So January is out.
Yeah.
Yes, January's probably out for me.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? Perspectives. Okay, well, again, we're putting it out. I think it was Jackie's suggestion. I agree that December is almost over, it seems, with everything that we've got going. But at the same time, Ellie just described it also. Maybe it's an end of term of the session that we would talk about, as opposed to trying to gather around December, January. But again, welcome any and all perspectives, comments. Please reach out to anyone if you have any thoughts about that as we go through. Great. So Jackie.
Okay, so now for communications. As you know, I sent out the email to everyone about tagging the data for the priorities poll. So as a reminder, I've asked committees to take a look at the sections that is relevant to their particular committee. Darren had provided a sheet with instructions, and he separated out into individual Excel sheets the comments related to each of the priorities that we mentioned in the poll. And we asked that each committee delegate or decide how to get that data tagged and then get that back to us by this Sunday. And CORC is going to meet next week to start working on a summary report. We already have some in submitted. So I wanted to ask anybody if they had questions about how to do this or if they have any concerns about being able to have their committee's data back to us.
The one thing that I thought of, Jackie, after it came out is that some of the committees have met before. So I don't know if, say, with, I think Christy Mahoney is out this week. I don't know if you heard back from the Employee Welfare Committee.
I've heard back from Education, and Tehei and Darren and I are splitting up the CORC one. So I haven't heard from anyone else. Darren, have you heard from any other committees about this?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't believe the Employee Welfare Committee, we didn't talk about it at this last week. And I don't believe we meet again until
next Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, Wednesday the 14th. So it might be, you may get some delay, but again, not knowing, I don't want to speak for Christy.
Sure. So I will send out an email reminder, and we can always follow up with anyone that we haven't heard from and decide what to do from there. But my hope is that we'll just get started with all of the data this month, but with vacation and break, I don't think we'll have any more to say. I won't promise any more to say before our next meeting, even though our next meeting is relatively late in January. I'd like to say we're going to take some time and make sure we do this properly before putting anything out to either the EA or to the public via website or EA voice or anything like that. So that kind of wraps up my thoughts on priority poll. Oh, actually, I had a question for Darren, just as something I thought of, and it might be something other people have thought of. When I was going through all of the comments, and this is getting me overthinking, so you won't be surprised, but we had themes that were related to, say, for example, unit-specific recognition, and some were positive and some were negative, but the way I was thinking we were doing it, we would just consider that a single theme without qualitating it as positive and negative, right? You wouldn't want to make this two separate themes. Okay. Right.
No, the theme is, whether it's negative or positive, the theme is just what it's about. So like, if they're, you know, so a lot of people are like, I don't get paid enough. We would say that as negative. Right. I'm sure there is a comment out there. There's plenty of comments out there that's like, our benefits are great. No change, no comment. And it's like, so the first comment would go to pay theme, and the second one would go to benefits.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No matter what it was.
Cool.
It might be, I mean, and we can discuss this in our committee, but it might be beneficial for us to, if there is like unit specific, to be able to aggregate that in an anonymous way to share with units. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you. So if anybody has questions after they go through things that they didn't get a chance to ask now, just let us know and we'll either discuss it in the CORC or we'll bring it back to the EA to discuss further.
Well, and I think that just in light of the presentation today from the Department of Inclusion and Belonging, a lot of the information we have from the priorities poll might be really helpful to frame to them as well. I think they're going to be getting a lot of information from the employee survey. I know a lot of folks who filled it out and said that they were quite painfully frank in the information and the way that they've been feeling. So it'll be interesting to get that. But in at least the priorities data, I think we know that there's some issues related to inclusion and equity that could be really helpful for them as well.
Yeah, I think that once we actually create the report, sharing it with multiple entities is going to be very beneficial.
Great. Yeah, I think we were hoping to get together with HR after they did some of their own data analysis and then talk about how we can work together on those topics.
Yes, perfect. Yeah. Anything else, Jackie?
Yes, yeah, I have a mini list here. So that was just the priorities poll. The EA awards. So the awards subcommittee met and discussed the question of the crunch for spring, because the PATS was put off from the fall to the spring. We were going to have potentially all three awards be administered in the spring. And our conclusion was that we would push the George Peter Award to the fall and keep the award for staff integrity and inclusion in the spring, especially since that had a financial prize in incorporated into it. So it'd be within the same fiscal year. So Christine is working on setting up the timeline for that. And she's assigned some tasks and teams, and she's working on starting that whole procedure. And for the EA Appreciation Award, now that we have a February 6th, semi-confirmed, I'm never gonna say confirmed until it's like stamped and sealed on my calendar, but we're holding February 6th as the date for the PATS. So I set up a timeline for the EA Appreciation Award. So I already have a draft survey ready based on the last year that I'm gonna share with people by email probably early next week. And my thought is, again, with the break, I will collect nominations until the end of the first week we get back, or even just maybe the Monday after the week we get back. And I'll set up a poll for voting after that. I'll distribute the nominations, of course, and we'll set up a poll for voting for that week-ish. And then we'll announce the winner mid-January. And I thought this would be helpful because we have to give information to the president before her address to staff. So hoping to have the winner ready to share with her. And we would then have some lead time from mid-January to February, and I'll double check on this, to get the plaque ordered in time for the presentation at the president's address. So does anybody have any questions about that? Does everybody remember the general concept of the award? I'll just go over it really quickly. The concept for the award is that you as an EA member, ideally within your representation, but it doesn't have to be that, would identify a group that has contributed to Cornell in the past year and change, roughly, basically since the last one, which was given out last fall of 2021. Just think of a group that has helped the university and the mission of Cornell that you would like to honor with a recognition from the employee assembly. And you would provide us with, this is something we would keep secret, so we don't tell them except for the people who went, and we would want to arrange for them to attend the president's address. So we would need the leader name or the leadership group name, the group's name, and then a brief summary on why you think they contributed strongly and deserve to win. And then EA members only would vote on that. And then we would announce that at the president's address. So of course, if you have any questions, let me know. And I'll be sending you guys an email early next week to get that process started. And last but not least is the December issue of the EA Voice. So there's not much that I plan to include right now. I was going to put in a call for committee members for the subcommittee for the awards, because that's something that does take a lot of effort. And there's some people who were on it before who were not able to participate this year. So I was just going to put out a call for participation in CORC and the subcommittee for the awards. And if anybody on another committee also wants to put out a call for members, let me know. And I'm also not entirely wed to sending out an EA Voice in December. If it's not a lot that we have to say, I'm happy to just let December go. I don't see a need to send that out. But I'm also happy to include it if there's anything that's important, but it's just a small thing. I think we can make that work pretty easily. And again, we don't have much time. We do have the 2 weeks, but I'm assuming that week before December is sparsely populated. So if anybody has any thoughts about this issue, let me know as soon as possible. And that's all I have.
Great. Thank you very much. Lots of stuff going on. Matthew, I think he's here, right?
He was going to go in late if he was able.
Okay. Is there anyone that participated at the last education committee? There wasn't, and I don't think we've had one since. Okay. Christy is not here today. I know that there was a welfare committee meeting. I was looking ahead. Have anybody have any updates that served on that committee? Kit is not here today, but I can tell you she did provide an update in her absence. That they had yesterday the discussion of the priorities poll and how to better educate the university staff on benefits, micro forums on specific benefits topics, potentially having Gordon Barger make a large-scale university presentation. The continue the discussion on university committee release time, community parking and transit pass pre-tax reimbursements, service with PayFlex where the FSA reimbursements are done. We learned this for staff who work off of the Ithaca campus. So we're going to look into this to understand why it doesn't apply to the Ithaca campus. And plans for future meetings to discuss Jeremy's proposed questions on employee care fund, to discuss the Cornell adoption policy as it pertains to LGBTQIA employees, as brought to the committee by Carl. Harvard expanded its adoption policy to be more inclusive to LGBTQIA families and second parent adoptions. And we're trying to figure out how we can use that information to apply to Cornell. Did anyone that participated in that committee have any clarifications or additional elements they wanted to add for that? Great. Kit, I talked about that. Anise. And the excitement that we are having with the elections committee.
Well, I don't know that I'd call it excitement. So
okay, it was sarcastically said. Excitement. Yes,
it's sad, but it's fine. So I did not receive any emails of interest in response to our incidental election. But no harm done, and perhaps we planted a seed that will come to fruition in the spring when we hold our regular elections. So that's all I have.
And the excitement is that we do have Wendy now, Treat, who has joined us, but that she was upset that she had a conflict for this first full meeting that she was part of to be able to do. But again, we attempted. We had that 2-week time frame, but now I think that the key is after the first of the year, really starting our full scale approach to trying to get our seats filled. We did have interest and there were some questions that came through with that. So I don't believe it should be problematic, but I think it's just one of those things that I think it will take an all hands on deck on trying to get us to approach this. Jeremy.
So might just be that we're looking at, you know, staff overload and thing, or work levels being really high, but it also is probably a really good indication of areas where we need to do some targeted introduction of the EA, our mission, what we do for folks within those areas, because I suspect that if we were more kind of universally known within those spaces, we would have more volunteers.
That's a really good point. And Marcy's hand is raised, but you don't know it. But I'm telling you that it is raised.
That was also my thought a couple years ago when there was huge involvement and we got a huge response to people wanting to join. And there was actual, you know, multiple people for seats of the elections when we did a forum. So that's kind of was my thought to have pushed to have a forum with Christine Lovely, a Zoom forum, with, you know, to invite all of the staff. This would be a great opportunity to give Christine a voice, let people know her, and also let people know about the EA.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that might be something that could garner interest. And we know the forums are needed and really well attended. Good.
I wanted to ask a question. So everyone whose seat is not up is on my committee, like it or not, if you're aware or not, you are. So maybe while we have some people together, what would be a good time and place to start meeting to really get geared up for election? I was thinking either right before or right after this meeting, but maybe people know of historically what's worked well.
I don't know, thoughts? Jessica was the chair of that. Do you remember what worked or didn't? I don't remember. I feel like it was in the morning, but it was a different world or meeting in person.
Right.
Yeah. It makes it very difficult. Before this meeting is an option, especially moving forward, the Employee Welfare Committee had typically meets right before this meeting, but we're off cycle a little bit. And I can say, before or after the January 18th, EA recognition and awards is right after the February 1st one. So I think the key is to maybe get it on the schedule, Anise, and try the possibility like February 15th. I don't know if you want to do it before that, but February 15th might be the next large, you know, get us back into the swing of things. But if you want to do it in January, I think, again, just put it out there. And I think having that Zoom option will garner a lot more participation than having it in person, certainly.
Okay, yeah, I'm thinking about, I want to make it as painless as possible. I mean, we don't have to meet for hours, but even if you're coming to this meeting, you come 20 minutes early and we talk about how to get the ball rolling so that we can fill all these seats that are still open. Okay, I'll just send out an email then to everyone.
Yes.
Thanks.
Sounds great. Thank you so much with that. Liaison reports. I don't think we've had a meeting since the employee or the university assembly. Marcy, do you remember anything?
I remember nothing. I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
I can speak to the university assembly if you want.
Yes, Deborah, you were there. Yeah.
No, I was not there, actually. I was at a conference, but the last university assembly meeting was entirely virtual because we were asked to give, there was a working session to allow the university assembly to provide input into some of the mental health activities that are happening. So that the whole meeting was focused on that.
Yes, the whole visioning
yes.
that happened with that we had with Julie Edwards.
Yes, yes. She wasn't able to be there. Two of her colleagues came instead, but that's exactly what happened. Yes.
She was there.
Okay, she told me she was unable to come, but there you go.
She was there.
I wasn't there at the conference, but yes.
Yes, that's right. You were away. Yep. But it was a great meeting. I was in person, you were virtual.
It was all virtual.
Oh, that's right. It was a meeting before that. Yes. that to be able to do that.
Yeah, this was all virtual at their request because they use the chat function to gather.
Right. To be able to do that.
Yep.
That's right. Right in the middle of it, my computer went into an automatic update. So I remember that. I can speak real quickly to the campus planning committee. I'm on that along with Christy Mahoney. This last campus planning committee was all about sustainability. We had presentations from the Earth Source Heat demonstration. The Kubo is the Cornell University, that boring project. Not boring, but then yawn. It is in the deep looking at heat sourcing to be able to do that. We actually had great presentations from the Sustainable Cornell University Council for land-based carbon sinks and the sequestration, sequestration working group. There, I can't say it. Just talking about a deep dive, talking about turf and grounds emission reducing strategies, alley cropping, and afforestation and habitat restoration. It was really very informative. I work in the facilities and campus services realm, and I learned about all of the activities related to sustainability that we're having. And actually for future, we always have folks from the sustainability office come and speak to us, and that might be something that we do in February, March timeframe, to have them come and address the EA as to what's happening on the sustainability front. Any other liaisons that to speak to?
Faculty, Senate?
Yeah, Jackie?
They haven't met. I think there might be one more by the end of the year.
Okay. Any other open discussion items? Any other things that people would have in the last 2 minutes of this last EA meeting of the year? Well, Christy's not here. At the last EA meeting, we did not formally recognize her efforts for sustainability, the presidential award that she received. So we'll wait until the next one that she's actually here to acknowledge that very high award that Christy has received last month. So it's really quite exciting to see one of our EA colleagues receiving awards and that front. But I hope everybody has a good, long, I know it seems like we're getting all sorts of time, but then the break flies by quickly for that. But I just, again, thank you all very much for all of your the brain power, the excitement, the, you know, the tenacity that we all bring to, that you all bring to the EA on an ongoing basis. And I cannot say enough how much I personally appreciate your time, energy, and efforts. And I just hope you all have a wonderful, restful, and terrific holiday season. Any motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Yes, Kate, do I have a second?
All over it.
Jeremy's multiple hands. You guys have a wonderful break and we'll talk soon.